Blog Talk Radio.
Andre.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm glad you was able to make it out and visit the Chronicles of Revolutionary Nerd this evening.
Yes, I'm glad I can make it too. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. You like a powerhouse in the game. You know
oh, yeah?
I mean? I think so. Gotta have people like you on here. You know, you just taking it to a whole nother level here. You know what I mean?
Well, thank you.
Well, what can we say? You know, my other co-host, she hasn't called in yet, but she'll be interviewing you as well. But I know that you have an early morning, so we're going to go ahead and get it started or whatever. I would like for you to explain to me who and what were your earliest inspirations and your present influence that inspired your comic arts and your writing.
Well, my earliest inspirations, I was inspired by many different things and many different mediums, comics, video games, especially video games. At first, Tracks was like the intro to everything. You know, I discovered comics through my mom, found one of her old collection of comics. And Christmas, when I was 5 or 6, she introduced me to video games. So my first system was Super Nintendo Entertainment System. And so we used to play Super Mario World together. I'm also inspired by movies. I'm just
what
a big
movie
buff. All types of movies, as long as it's a good story. But my favorite is action and mainly just action. I love action, you know, but I appreciate horror and drama and all of that and romance.
Well, it seems like everybody that, you know, that I've had on here the past few weeks, you know, that's the genre that, you know, everyone seems to love, include myself, which is horror. You know, a horror, for some reason, that just sticks out. Everybody that comes on here, yourself,
it's just
everyone, you know what I mean? But that's a good thing, you know, because believe it or not, a lot of our inspirations, like you say, come from that supernatural type thing, you know what I mean? As far as horror, you know, I like supernatural type horror, eerie, something eerie, that's what I like. You know, when I get into doing my writings, you know, I really get into it by certain stories that I see in the movie industry. When you say you were really into, like, Super Mario Brothers?
Well, that was one of the first games that I played. But currently my favorite games are, like, anything from Kojima. I love Metal Gear Solid, Zone of the Enders. What else? Oh, that's so much.
You got a nice little collection of games.
Yeah, I'm actually like bending over looking at what I got because that's like my brain is rich right now. But it's too many. But one of my other favorite games is Shadow of Colossus and Ico from my team Ico.
Okay.
And Shadow of Colossus is like one of the only video games that was actually considered to be art, and it's in a museum somewhere. So that's pretty cool. And Team Ico got another game coming out called The Last Guardian. So I've been waiting for that the past, like, 5 or 6 years. And then, of course, the Final Fantasy VII remake. I seen the trailer that dropped a few days ago. I don't know if you know anything about Final Fantasy VII, but I'm just like really excited about it.
I follow different video games like you know, Metal Gear, you know, and I get into like the Tom Clancy type games,
right?
Black Ops, you know, all that. Anything and something like Half Life. You know, the last computer game I had was Half Life with the colony of
pick up that can, like Half-Life 2.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite games right there. Played to the end. And Hitman is one of my favorites.
That was when games started getting voices. That was when games
started
getting
what?
I know I cut you off. I said, I know I cut you off. But I said, that's when games started getting voices, like actual audio. They did it first in PC. This was like 10, 15 years ago. I think Half-Life 2 came out in like 04, somewhere around there.
It was at least a good 10 years ago when it came out, 10, 12 years ago.
But other stuff that inspired me, like, you know, this is kind of a guilty thing, but I hate to say this, but every now and then Michael Bay inspires me. I don't like how he be putting our people out there sometimes.
Right.
But, you know, because the whole stereotypes and all that. But and then like he overuses that whole panoramic, you know, camera. You know, he's gonna be talking about toilet paper and he has like this 360 effect. I'm like, we're talking about toilet paper, stop, you know. But like at the same time he just has a wild vision. So I grew up on his movies in the '90s and stuff.
Okay.
I just rewatched Armageddon. What's up?
No, I was going to ask you, it appears that you've been heavily influenced by Japanese manga style of art. Explain to me what really sparked your interest in creating your style, that style of art. And could you elaborate on it?
Yeah, so I think what appealed to me most about anime, opposed to, I guess, American cartoons and comics, even though I still have a love for those,
right.
It's just different. It's a different aesthetic. You know, I feel like anime is more spiritual. I noticed that a lot of people who are into anime, such as myself, they have a different outlook compared to, you know, other fans of you know, different things. Because a lot of anime is rooted in you know, mystical elements, you know?
Right, right.
But
yeah, I like
from
that.
So from a visual aesthetic, it's anime is more expressive, I would like to say. Like sometimes depending on what you're watching, it can come across as really flat or juvenile, you know? And that's the bad rep that anime tends to get with people who don't really, you know the full scale or library, you know,
right.
or different styles it has. But yeah, so my mom introduced me to anime. She introduced
right.
me to everything.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing, you know, because I remember, you know, meeting you a long time ago. I met you through your mom. At the Black Age of Comics out there in Chicago, I think it was at Kenwood High School or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My co-host came online, Miss Kelly Alfine. She on the line as well. She may have a few questions too. Hi,
hey,
how are
Kelly.
You, Kelly? Are you there?
Hey, hello.
Hey.
How
are you?
Here you go. Hey, I'm fine. One of the questions I had was, what is your favorite out of your anime series, different anime series that you see? Like, is Bleach one of your favorites?
I love Bleach a lot, but that's not one of my favorites. I guess because I've been watching Bleach since, like, 03, you know. I would say one of my favorites currently is this one anime called Zammed. So I think that came from Bones. And Zammed was made by the same team as Eureka 7, or if you want to get technical, Eureka, that's how you say her name. But, like, Zammed, which is spelled X-A-M-D, it's a pretty complicated story. I'm trying to see how I can explain this in a condensed way. it was first brought over to the States through PSP with Sony. You can download it and watch it through the PlayStation Network. This is back in 2008, and eventually across platforms to Netflix, and that's how I was introduced to it. I knew about it when it became available. It was solely available through PlayStation. I don't know why they decided to do it that way. But they eventually made it available on Netflix back in 2011. And so 5 years ago, I was working at a call center, and I was going through some personal things in my life, and I was just speaking to Andre about how anime can be really spiritual and you know, mystic and all of that, mystical and all of that. And so watching Zammed, even though this is a highly fantastical story, you know, not rooted in reality at all, the honor that some of these characters, you know, exuded and you know, just, I love character development, you know, and seeing how some characters weren't totally black and white, you know, there was some great elements, you know, just seeing how characters are developed and, you know, you take certain elements from a story, and you apply it to your life and, you know, it just, That's one of my favorite shows, Zammed. Another show is Birdie. Birdie is a remake from the 80s. And Birdie, yeah, that's a really good one. It's like she's like a space police. And she grew up as like I think her race is called the Arturian race. And she was basically bred from birth to be a police officer or some type of militant type of person, you know? So you just follow her adventures in space, and the whole story covers her and I forgot her partner's name, but it's a high school boy in Japan, and they have to share her body because he was exploring an abandoned building one night when she was chasing the criminal, and he got in the way while she was preparing to attack this criminal. So when she, you know, gets ready to do like this certain kind of punch, connects with him instead of the criminal, and so she basically not disintegrates his body, but breaks every bone and ligament in his body. He basically kills him. So before his soul actually passes all the way, they manage to grab his consciousness, whatever, and put it in her body, and they have to coexist until his body is fully repaired. So that's like another, you know, layer of the story on top of her adventure.
I like stories like that. You know, two of my favorites are Blood and Wind Ninja Chronicles.
Hell yeah.
I can watch Wind Ninja Chronicles several times.
Mm.
It's part of my collection. I just watch it over and over whenever. And whenever I see it, I just grab it and watch it.
I have so many
DVDs. You know, it's like, you know, you do the same thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just finished rewatching Vampire Hunter D, the second movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, I like that as well.
Yeah, same thing behind Ninja Scroll.
So let me ask you, what was it that really sparked your interest in creating your own brand or style of comic art? You know, what actually inspired Millennia Wars, and when did you decide to publish it, go out and publish it on your own?
I was inspired to create Millennial War back in like 2003. That's when I started working on it. You know what? Let me just rephrase that answer. I've always made stories. It's just something that I always had this need to express. You know, like I just got to build this little book, you know, so I'm growing up, I make a book about my Barbie dolls, you know, Barbie go to the beach or something, you know, something wacky like that. I just always was inspired to, I don't want to say regurgitate, but you know how you go to the movies or something, and this can be someone who's not even that creative of a person, even though I think everyone's creative to a certain extent, you know, but you can go to the movies, see, I don't know, the new Deadpool movie. You know, you pull some type of, everybody tends to get inspired by what they like, you know, and I think everybody has it in them to, you know, make up stories, you know, even when you fantasize, you know, it's just that certain people don't, you know, bring it out for whatever reason. For me, I have to express myself, you know. I'll get into Millennial War in a second, but, you know, that's why I go so hard with my art, because, you know, like I said earlier, I used to work at a call center, and I have other, you know, all types of, you know, jobs that's not related to art, and they, like, I feel like I'm dying inside if I'm not doing something.
Agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. If I'm not doing something pertaining to art, and I try to, you know, have a normal job, you know, quote unquote normal job. And do that with my art, and it just doesn't work, you know.
That's a whole nother conversation. I know.
But yeah. So it's like for me, it's all or nothing, you know.
That's a good philosophy to have. No, I mean to cut you off, but it's a good philosophy to have. All or nothing.
And so. Yeah,
yes, it is.
Andre's funny.
Right.
I thought he was gonna say more. He was like, all or nothing, and that was it. I was like, okay.
That's the perfect philosophy.
But yeah, that's how you should approach anything, because you don't know how stuff is gonna, you know, pan out. Anything you want to achieve, you don't know. Just know that you're gonna mess up, you know. So just. All or nothing, you know. There's no point in being scared, because it's just no point, you know.
That's true.
There's nothing here in Chicago. I know I just, like, went left, but I'm going to tie it together. There's nothing here in Chicago, like, barely any opportunity. And we live in an age now where survive off of multiple part-time jobs. And, like, that's not the type of future
I
envisioned for myself, nor did I plan it. And I grew up, with education and all that stuff, you know, pursue this and that, you know, instill in me. And, you know, that's how the world, or I say, let me think on a smaller scale. You know, that's how America, you know, pushes its citizens.
The education system is built like that.
Right. And then you come out of college and you're like, man, somebody lied to me. Ain't nothing out here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
I had to wrestle with that. Oh, my God. I was like, this doesn't make sense. Like, the logic is 1 + 1 equals fish, you know? Like, I was so, right? I was so bitter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can't curse, of course. I was full, you know, I was just so mad.
I'm reading your mind. I know exactly what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
What you're thinking.
Yeah.
Cause
you're frustrated.
The way it's structured
is in all the tables.
Right, it just trains us to go into the workforce, and like you say, in Chicago, if for it to be, you know, the second city, or as they say, the big city, you would think that they would have a lot more to offer as far as art is concerned, as far as anything. If you go into the job market, you should be able to work one job and be able to survive off that, as opposed to having to work 3 and 4 part-time jobs. That makes no sense.
Right.
You know,
but
that should not be happening.
Man, yeah. So, I mean, I understand that whole shift, you know, just the workforce, you know, my mom and I definitely, you know, we felt the effects of that. We feel it now. That's another reason why I just go so hard with my work, because you have to, there's a point where you have to stop looking at your craft as a hobby and start looking at it seriously. Like, what can I do with this? Because as you get older, time is of the essence. You know, you always know that growing up, but like after, you know, you get out of school and it's like, okay, what now? No one's telling you what to do. No one's waking you up and, you know, pushing you on this agenda, like, you know, class and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, like, be your own boss and just lead yourself, you know, just take, remember your training and all of that. And so with that being said, I just had to look at my work differently. And when you look at your work differently, your inspiration changes too, because, you know, even as a person, you know, you're not going to be the same person that you were like 10 years ago. Like, I'm not the same person that I was back in 2004, when I first created Millennial War in 2006, when I first published it. You know, I'm not that same person. There's some elements that remain. But, you know, overall, I've matured. And with that, you know, your inspiration comes from, you have to, you know, get it from different places, because I'm trying to see how to tackle this answer, because this can go pretty dark. You know,
this is a Blog Talk Radio. It can be dark, light. I take it.
We're gonna keep the light. We're gonna keep it light. But it's just you have to figure yourself out. And once you figure yourself out and what you like and, you know, what moves your spirit, you have to adjust accordingly. You know, and that's the thing. A lot of people aren't open to change, and they're scared of change. But it's like, you can avoid change all you want. You know, you're going to change whether you know it or not. You know, I try to avoid change because I liked myself as a person. I still like myself as a person, you know, but I avoided change because I didn't want to grow up totally. I've always had a... But for me, I've always had an old soul, you know, so, you know, I'll be goofy with you and I'll act silly and whatever, but then if you need to sit down and talk about some stuff, you know, I got that mold too. But when I said I didn't want to grow up, it wasn't like, oh, I want to party, da, da, da. Like, it's just, you know, for me, I get on the train going wherever I'm going, and I see people on their way to work and they look so miserable, and I'm like, man, like, adulthood looks like it suck, you know. Like, I don't want to be one of those people, you know, just pouting every morning,
right.
You know?
And they're just on a set schedules.
Right, you know.
Robots.
Just being shuffled
Matrix.
Around. And,
that,
right,
that's
you
the
know.
Matrix all day.
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, you know. All I can say is, you know, your work is excellent. It has evolved since, you know, when I first met you back in 2003, 2004. But it's immaculate. You know, it's really good. I was looking at Niobe. You pronounce it Niobe or Niobe? How do you
Niobe.
Pronounce that? Niobe?
Niobe.
Mm-hmm. Now, ask me this. How do you feel about Niobe being everywhere? When you go to the different comic book stores, you see that your artwork is in just about every comic book store there is.
It's wild, you know. It's like, man, the future is here. But I haven't really had a moment to fully appreciate it because I've just been working behind the desk nonstop, just literally nonstop. But I'm happy, you know. I'm really, really happy. I can't wait till I can get a chance to slow down so I can just, like, be in the moment. I appreciate the moment as much as I can while it's still here, you know, because – you know, I just don't want to miss it, you know. But
right.
I'm really happy. I'm happy that people like the art. I think it's funny that people were surprised that the book looked good. But I think that happens. Like, okay, you know, you have a celebrity, and it's like, oh, you know, they're known for being an actor. You know, I'm going into music. And it's like, oh, here we go. You know, like you switch your careers. You know,
right.
So you have an actress, she's like, oh, I'm going to put out a comic. Like, this is going to be some bullshit, you know? And then, like, they see the book. They see the book, and they're like, oh, okay. Like, whoa. You know, like, Sebastian, I tell you this, like, from a physical standpoint, been in any of the comic book stores yet, so I haven't seen it on the shelves. But, man, I got to get out so I can see it, because I got to take some pictures. Ah! But anyways.
It's there. Yeah, it's there.
Like,
I'll take a picture for you if you want.
Hey, yeah. Thank you.
One of my favorite comic book stores I go to, you know, it's called Green Brain Comics. It's on Michigan Avenue in Dearborn. They carry, like, a nice variety of independent books, you know.
Yeah.
And, they had it in there.
Man.
I was like, wow, this is amazing right here.
What's the store called again?
It's called Green Brain Comics.
Oh, well, thank you, Green Brain. But
right.
But yeah, so Sebastian, he'll hit me up and he'll tell me what's going on, you know, like what people are saying and you know, different board meetings, you know,
mm-hmm.
and whatever. There was an article that just came out recently and so they just discussed how Film Roman is trying to make a movie out of Niobe. And so, you know, he'll tell me, like, the reactions from, you know, certain executives. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, you know, I think I'm good. I don't, you know, I put like that. I think I'm good. But I get surprised when I hear, you know, people, how they react to my work because I know where I want to be. I'm not where I want to be right now in my work. And also, I haven't really fully expressed myself to the public yet because people will truly get to see, you know, what I'm about once I move on to my own stuff. You know, I plan to go back to Millennial War. And, let me answer your first question. You asked me a while ago, what inspired me with Millennial War? Basically, that goes back to the first answer, you know, like everything, you know, life. You know, I'll have a conversation with somebody and they may drop a gem. I'm like, man, that was kind of tight. You know, maybe I took that away in my mind or, you know, write, you know, jot it down on a piece of paper and, like, implement it into the story. Because a lot of times art, you know, replicates life, you know. So
yes,
that's how I get inspired. You know, you never know when that hits. I remember saying on the panel back at Kamikaze last year, it doesn't matter if you tucked in bed, comfortable, warm. If that inspiration kicks, you got to honor that.
Get up.
You know, get up and write it down, because it's not going to have the same impact when you try to, you know, pull, you know, from inside and remember what you was feeling after you wake up. And so, you know, if you don't honor your talent, if you don't honor your craft and your gift, it's going to leave you. You know, you're going to forget, you know.
Right.
I feel like it's all tied. Not, I mean, it's not just a mental thing, but it's physical too. It's almost like, you know, muscle memory. You know, if you're not drawing every day, that pencil is going to feel funny, you know, after a few days, if you go a few days without drawing. But let me go back to the current question, you know. Well, what's the current question? Dang.
well, you kind of like tied it into, you know, when I ask you about Millennia Awards and how what inspired you. I went into, you know, how do you feel about, you know, Niobe, you know, being on the shelves, you know, just about every comic book store you go to. Because I was really happy for you when I seen it myself. I was happy. I told the guy that owned the store, I was like, I know the young lady that drew this right here. You know, I felt like I was a movie star.
Oh, yeah? Thank you. Like, everything feels the same for me, you know. I think some people expected things to change. Nothing has to change because regardless of, you know, who I'm with or, you know, people's stations in life, you know, people are people, you know.
Right.
And I consider myself as an everyday person. And my thing is this, life is fickle, you know. And if I'm if I act a certain way towards people when I'm on the come up, you know, the tables can flip easily for, you know, any reason. I hate to see you on the way down, you know. And I just feel like I have to treat people right. That's why I have these opportunities that I have now. It's been a long road, you know, since 2003, 2004. But, you know, I'm here now because, well, right, you got to respect people. I met somebody today. I met somebody today in the street. I went by to see my guy real quick, and he had some dude with him. And my thing is this, I may not know you, but I'm going to respect you. So I was like, hey, nice to meet you. And I shook his hand, and he was like, oh, a female that shakes hands. I was like, well, it's not a female male thing. It's just I'm honoring your existence. Like, like, you're here. I'm not going to talk over you, you know. And so, and he gave me some old limp. Like two fingers. I was like, what kind of handshake is that? Like two fingers. I was like, you better give me a proper. But, you know, people, they get all flabbergasted when you do what you're supposed to do and you treat them with respect. I'm like, is that really that foreign of a concept, respect?
I think it is
nowadays. It is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, you know, I'm like you, Ashley. You know, you see some people you're seeing for the first time. You greet them with respect like you're supposed to. Well, at least we think we're supposed to. And sometimes, you know, they come off like, what the heck is wrong with you? Like, you're the weird person.
Right. You just do what you do what you're supposed to do. You know, regardless of how it may translate to other people. But, yeah, like, another thing I want to just say is a few months ago, like, back in November, a friend of mine was like, yeah, I know you're feeling good because you got Niobe and this and that other project. I know you're happy because of that. I was like, no, I had to work on myself as a person. I'm optimistic by nature, but, you know, sometimes doubt sets in when you're trying to go for what you want to do in life. And doubt affected me for, you know, the past few years. And, you know, I kept my nose to the ground and, you know, I just kept going, you know, and working. But I was hurting inside too, you know. And I told my friend, like, look, you have to work on yourself, you know, day by day. Be patient with yourself if you want to change your mentality. And I feel like once I accomplished that and I began to shift my focus and just be more in control of my mentality, that my physical reality started reflecting that, you know, in the people that came into my life. and whatnot, you know. So I'm happy because I do have these projects, but I was happy before I got the projects. I feel like I attracted them to me, you know.
Right.
And that's it. As simple as that, you know. So
I guess that's one of the good things about, you know, you being into manga and being somewhat familiar with the Japanese culture, because you learn, you know, a lot about, you know, working from within to appeal to yourself outwardly, in the sense of, you, like you were saying, you know, everything, you know, you were doing, you were already doing it previously to this, and you basically got
Yeah, I mean, because I think it's due to how I was raised, you know.
My mom just
treat people a certain way regardless of what they have or don't have. Like, you can have everything, but but are you cool, though? You know, like, you can have everything, but if you're a jerk, you know, you're
right.
a jerk.
That's the way most artists think. You know, most artists that are, you know, besides being creative individuals, you know, we use, you know, our whole brain. It's not just, you know, the left side of the brain. We're just strictly logical about everything. And, you know, if you're strictly logical about everything, then that makes you a jerk. You see what I'm saying? So when you utilize your whole brain, the creative aspect, you know, you appeal to both sides of the brain because you're utilizing the right side of the subconscious versus the conscious. You're utilizing the whole brain. That's what brings out that creativity. And that's what I was saying earlier. You were saying, you know, you remained the same. That's a good thing. You remain level because of the fact that you utilize your whole brain.
Okay, well, that's one way of looking at it. I didn't think of it like that. But
the creativity, it comes from the right side, the illogical side. It comes from, right, 'cause you're forming something there. Whereas the logical side, you know, everything is already there. It's being placed there through what we're dealing with every day. You know, like you spoke on earlier today, you know, as far as education, college, being trained through the education system, you're actually being trained to come out here, like you say, get the 9-to-5 and be part of the matrix and call it a day. And like you say, you looked at the people on the train and you was like, no, I don't want to be like that. I want to do that. You know, that's the reason why you were functioning properly. You were unplugged a while back.
I wanted to piggyback on that, is that there's the educational system. It trains us to be a certain type of way. It never teaches us how to be entrepreneurs and how to strike out on our own and do something that we love, something that we're passionate about. And it's like we have to kind of like feel our way through the process. And I had a question about, like, how did you change or shift? What type of techniques did you use?
Well, I just started analyzing my life and thinking, you start thinking about cause and effect. You know, we're talking about the matrix. I guess that's going to be the theme.
Yes, I forget
the French guy's name, but, you know, he talks about cause and effect. Your life gets so busy, it's hard to look at the little things, you know? And before you know it, you're underwater, you know, and it's just like, oh my God, I can't think, you know. I'm so focused on trying to survive, I can't think about what I need as a person, you know, what my soul needs. All I can focus on is the basic necessities. When you're in survival mode to that extent, you know, where you're just like panicked over basic survival, how am I going to eat, you know, where am I going to sleep, I feel like you do your best. You do your best when your back is against the wall. You know, it forces you to be even more creative the less you have. And so I started readjusting my life accordingly to whatever situation, you know, that will arise. You know, something will play out a certain way. Because, you know, you have to notice patterns, you know, with people and events and whatever. When you start seeing patterns in your life, and I was confused because I'm a really cool person and I take a lot of things, I'll give people the benefit of the doubt, you know, and I still I still live that way, but I'm way wiser now, so, you know, I'm more aware, you know, than I used to be, and I practice, you know, discerning, you know, things more, so when I was more open about things, I invited a lot of things into, you know, my life. This isn't nothing super drastic like drugs or anything, but, you know, just negative vibes into my environment. And this was the lesson I had to learn. You could be doing everything that you're supposed to do as a person. You could be thinking the right way, everything. But if you got, you know, people who aren't living and thinking that same type of way, if they don't have that same, you know, morale system as you, their bad juju is going to rub off on you, you know? Like, their aura is going to block your blessings, you know? So you have to eject those people from your life. I had to go on some lone wolf stuff, you know, the past year or two. And, you know, I just keep my circle, you know, very, very small. And, you know, you just operate, you know, on a different level. You think differently. And you realize you can't be open with everything.
Exactly.
So I learned some lessons in the previous chapter of my life. I feel like this is a new chapter of my life right now. I learned some lessons in my previous chapter, and luckily I took the time to reflect, you know, before I entered this chapter. So I was like, I would not repeat those mistakes because, you know, now people are looking at my work and stuff, and it's just real unfortunate when you have someone who's really talented and all they can do is talk about who said what about them, or, you know, it's just like, come on, you know, are you going to bitch or are you going to draw? You know, like, we're artists, we're here to draw, you know.
Yeah. I've experienced that quite a bit, so.
We all have, you know, those people are everywhere. It's people like us are very rare.
They are everywhere, just like you said.
And another thing to do to change your mentality is, you know, it's easy to get frustrated with people in the world. And once you understand how the world operates, I'm not going to go into details because that's a whole other conversation. But once you understand how the world really operates opposed to what you believed or whatever, when you look at the cold, hard facts and you accept them, it's like, I cannot get mad anymore. You know, I just know how to maneuver. You know, because there's no point in getting mad, you know?
You're like a regular old sage, right? Aren't you? You're like a regular sage. You know, that's like a mystic priest.
Man, I'm still learning. I know what a sage is, but yeah, I'm still learning. I'm still learning.
Yeah, I got you. I'm right there with you. Now, let me ask you this. What is your ritual before you actually hit that table and get this dynamic workout that you've been putting out?
Like, there is no ritual.
Do you meditate before you get into it?
Or
you just cut your music on? You know, what do you do?
I just wake up and go. Just dive in. I just go.
Even when you're still not, you just go right into it.
Yeah, I have to. You know, especially like I'm drawing two books at the same time, which I'm not going to do for a very long time, you know. It's fun, but it's like, oh my God, you know, this is two books, you know. So I'm working on Latifah, and I'm working on Niobe, currently Niobe number 3. Niobe 2 just came out back on the 2nd. Yeah, March 2nd. And we're expecting Niobe 3, I want to say sometime early April, you know, maybe. Early April. So I gotta stop saying, you know, I'm getting on my own nerves with that. But yeah, so yeah. Niobe 3.
Chicago thing. No, they have
no,
different
that's
sayings. Everybody have their own sayings everywhere now. You know, like Detroit is what up, though.
Oh, yeah, what up, though?
Yeah,
but,
everybody says that in Detroit.
Niobe 3 comes out sometime, I want to say, early April, and then we all move on to 4, and then we'll have a graphic novel and all of that. C2E2, which is a comic convention here in Chicago, that will be at the McCormick Place next weekend, March 18th through the 20th. And so I'll be with Stranger Comics, and we'll be selling Niobe 1 and 2, as well as their other books, such as Arathune and The Untamed. I just want to touch on this real quick. So real quick, since I'm talking about C2E2, Stranger Comics booth, which is where I'll be, is booth 626, and I'll put it on my my social media and all of that. But our booth is 626. I won't be there for the whole convention, just because I need to catch up on some things. But I'll be there Friday and Saturday, noon to 3, and just doing sketch covers and commissions and whatnot, and signing books. So I just want to put that out there for anybody who's interested. And so I'm working on Niobe 3.
Say that's good, you know, letting the people know.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I'm working on Niobe 3 right now, as well as Latifah. And actually, we're wrapping up Latifah, because Latifah is available next month. So right now, I think they're just doing print, but they're planning to move to digital. And there's a comic book convention in Dubai, and I may be going out there next month. I have to see, you know, what's what. But the plan is for me to go out.
Man,
that's Dubai. Yeah, it's going
to
be fun.
Right. That'll be real fun.
Yeah, man. And so
it'll be hype.
You said it'll be hype, Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would imagine they will be.
Man, you know, and so I just want to say real quick, like, well, what do you want to talk about? Do you want to talk about Niobe first or Latifah?
Well, I really didn't know anything about Latifah. I think you had posted it on Facebook like last week or the week before, because, you know, I follow basically your social media, and I wasn't really familiar with it. So that's why I didn't really get into any of the new stuff that I wasn't familiar with. But
well,
if you want to talk about Latifah, that's cool.
Okay, well, I'll talk about Latifah.
We're open to that.
Okay, I'll talk about Latifah since we're talking about it now, and then I'll explain Niobe as well as another title called Arathune, which I provided the cover for earlier this month. So Latifah, just real quick, the company I'm working with on it is New Arab Media, and the CEO is Fahad Al-Saud. And
that's
so,
a sweet cover. I don't mean to cut you off. That's a sweet cover you did for that.
Thank you.
Is that the cover or is it just the pinup?
That's just the pinup. But
pinup, nice.
Yeah,
but,
thank
but you.
You go ahead. So
I'm just amazed by it.
Thank you. So what you see in that promo or that cover you were speaking on, Andre, Latifah is holding the sword. Sword is Al-Faisal. And the whole story of Latifah takes place 50 years in the future in Saudi Arabia, and she's a nomadic type character. And what some of the things that this issue of Latifah touches on is how Al-Faisal came to be. You know, he's basically he's put together. You know, Al-Faisal has many different attributes, you know, such as he can change his limp, he can you know, become compacted. And on like some caboodle type stuff. but yeah, he can like, you know, become more compacted or you know, turn to like a long sword, as you see on the cover. And also he has like a shock system, you know, if the wrong person touches him. And he, it seems to me that what I've read so far, he has his own personality, because he has some witty banter with Latifah, you know, at times in the book. So I like him so far, you know, what little I know about him.
Mm-hmm.
And so Latifah herself, she's one of seven heroines, part of Saudi Girl Rock. Saudi Girl Rock is the sub-faction of NAM, or New Arab Media. That's
okay.
Saudi Girls Revolution. I said Rock. Saudi Girls Revolution. They specifically are over Latifah, as well as six other books that they're working on, because there's seven heroines all together. Latifah is the
mm-hmm.
flagship title for that faction of comics. And so Latifah, she deals with fighting mutants. And she had a really harsh upbringing. So there's some anger there in her character, but her anger is very controlled because she encounters regular civilians, if there's any civilians in this post-apocalyptic, you know, world, you know. But she encounters non-threatening people, and so she has, you know, a sound enough mentality, I guess, to know, like, okay, I can't lash out at this and that person, you know. So her anger is very controlled and, you know, direct, and she's basically trying to find Camp Umnia, which is where she has some very bad experiences with some mutants and the government, and so she's trying to find this camp to destroy it. And the main focus for New Arab Media and Saudi Girls Revolution is, you know, they want to challenge people's perceptions of the Middle East. They want to put out Middle Eastern type content, but with a global appeal, and you know, just show people that they have things in their culture that can be appreciated and adapted.
Expressed,
you
right.
know. Yeah, just like how people love Black people culture, you know, and,
right.
and not just
yeah.
Black people culture, but just different cultures overall, you know.
Right.
They want to show off their culture, too, because a lot of times people over here in the States, I can't speak on the rest of the world, but I know here in the States, a lot of people tend to shy away from, you know, Middle Eastern related, you know, topics and whatnot. So they want to challenge people.
One of my good friends who started with a while back with Urban Style Comics, he has his own book called Crescent Comics, and he concentrates strictly on Muslim characters. So he concentrates strictly on his way of life, you know, just because of the fact that, like you're saying, Ashley, no one's really expressing the different cultures and things of that nature. Actually, they should be expressed in a positive light, as opposed to what we're seeing on television and things of that nature about, you know, either Muslims or Arabs or whatever, you know, the stuff that Donald Trump be trying to put out on us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to avoid his way of thinking as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing, you know.
Oh, yeah. And no, it's just really cool. It's an exciting project, and the people are just wonderful. Oh, it's a great team. Very, very happy to be working with them. And so I actually met Fahad in India. I've been working with India pretty closely on the project. She's overseeing it within the company. And so they both approached me at New York Comic Con, and that's basically the genesis of that working relationship. But, so what else did I want to say? So all of these comics that will be released under Saudi Girls Revolution, each comic is attached to each respective female, you know, the seven heroines that escape Camp Umnia with Latifah. And so Latifah, like I said, she's the flagship character. The other characters, their inspirations, they're based on women in Fahad's life that impacted his life, you know, in certain ways. And so those women in his life, they inspired those seven women in those comics. And so that's basically all that I have to say about Latifah at the moment. It's exciting. You know, it's action oriented, so there's a lot of action in there. A lot of action. I was surprised when I read the script.
Those my kind of books, right there. Plenty of action.
Yeah. It's just fun, and I'm just excited for everyone to see it. And I'm excited that it's out there because a lot of people, they liken my work to fantasy because they were introduced to my work through Millennial War, which is my self-published comic. They're just used to seeing my art from a certain, you know, perspective. So I'm excited to show them something, you know, with science fiction because I have so many different things I want to express and so many different things that I actually have, you know, in my portfolio, but it's everything's about timing, you know.
Right,
and
that's so true.
I'm just happy that I finally have a platform such as Niobe or such as Latifah, you know, where I can finally put content out on a global scale, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I know, you know, time just flies so fast. And we got so much to talk to you about. And, you know, but it is what it is, I know, because we're almost up in like 3 minutes. What I would like,
touch on Niobe real quick.
Right. There we go.
Okay, well, just like real quick, Niobe 2 just came out February 2nd. And, you know, just please support it. Go to your comic book stores, your local comic book stores. If you're not able to purchase it physically, then you can go on Amazon, Kindle, iBooks, and Midtown Comics and buy it through Midtown Comics online with a discount.
There you go, folks. Ashley just gave it to you in a nutshell. That was the question I was going to bring up to her, but she read my mind. I told you it was sage.
It's that sage knowledge.
It's all good. But I'm glad you were able to share with the people, you know, where they can purchase Niobe. You have anything else you would like to share with them? Obviously you'll be at C2E2 next week for 3 hours from 12 to 3.
Yeah, 12 to 3 on Friday and Saturday.
Mm-hmm. And the booth number is what?
626 Stranger Comics.
Stranger Comics. You know I'm going to have you on here again, right?
Yeah.
You know what? I think I'm going to have to expand the time on here because everybody that I've had on here, you know, we just go on and on and on. It's a good thing. And it's like, man, why do we have to get off the phone? But needless to say,
you know,
Ashley,
it's a lot to say.
And next week we will have Brother Larry Stroman and Todd Johnson on board.
Oh, Larry's my guy.
Yeah, you know, he's supposed to be on next week. So needless to say, thank you for listening to the Chronicles of the Revolutionary Nerd 9. And Ashley, I want to thank you again for being our special guest.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Kelly.
You're so welcome.
Kelly's in the cut. She's in the cut. Just like on some secret character type stuff.
she
got one secret character on the select screen, just like just silhouetted out. You can't see the details, but she's there.
Right. It's all good. All right. Until next time. Bye.
On a man-made lake, there's a sheet up in ice, where unskilled skaters cut figure eight twice. At 16, uncut, direct from the cult. Head on assault, the result, death by the bolt. In the vault, it spoke about the average lost commission that was seen by a king in a prophetic vision. Like a plane crash from a bomb blast. Special broadcast, slot time with Comcast. They kept the jury quiet, and now the riot performed. While satanic man, now hanging his dorm. Swing on you fake radio personalities, boost your ratings. with hypes behind casualties of five shots. Below pressure, water gunplay. Instantly slap your five like it's Palm Sunday. I fashion the first tool from that.